This message comes from NPR sponsor Mattress Firm. Get discounts on top deals this spring. Mattress Firm offers a wide selection of quality mattresses at every price point. Plus, if you see a lower price, they'll match it. Shop the Friends and Family Sale in-store or online. Restrictions apply.
I'm Ellen Murray from Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm Kira from Katona, New York.
I'm Jen from Oakland.
The Sound of Young America is an independent production
supported by listeners like you and me.
If you'd like to support the show like I did, visit MaximumFun.org
and click on Donate.
I'm Jesse Thorne, live on tape from my house in Los Angeles. It's The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International. My guests on the program are Charlene Yee and Nick Jasinovic. They are the star and director, respectively, of the new film Paper Heart, which is a look at what love is through the lens of documentary and faux documentary without much of a line in between them. Nick, Charlene, welcome to the Sound of Young America. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having us, Jesse.
Thanks for having us.
So how did the two of you conceive of this movie? What was the kernel?
Nick just pointed to me.
I always point.
That's called a throw. In broadcasting, he threw to you.
Wow, I caught it.
No, not yet. We gotta wait and see.
Oh, wait, we'll see.
We'll see if you fumble or not.
Well, originally it was inspired because I had doubts myself about love and was so uncertain about it. And
well, let me stop you there. When you say questioning love and uncertain about love, I think what people are imagining are, you know, you're a young lady or 23, 24 years old. People are imagining great, excellent. People are imagining that you had fallen in love. You had a high school boyfriend who broke your heart, and that led you to question love.
Nope.
But you're really talking about questioning love. Romantic love existing at all, being a thing, not believing in it.
Yeah.
And I think more for yourself I think for other people.
Yeah, personally, I don't think I was like, that's not real. That's not real. You know, I wasn't doing that.
I don't believe you.
Sorry, you can't prove me wrong. I know what I believe, and I choose to believe it. I think it was more like I was like 18 and just out of school, and I went to college for a bit, but dropped out. And you know, I perform a lot, and most of the people I hang out with are older, like 40 or older than that, and a lot of them are single. And I was like, oh, you know, like I wonder if that's gonna happen to me. And I think around that time, I'd look at, you know, I turn on the TV and you see so many reality TV shows where people are dating, but they're just, like, making out on the first date and, like, in jacuzzis, but, like, with four or five people. And I was like, oh, my God, is that how people date? Like, I'm such a weirdo. I don't know how people date. Like, I don't really go to bars because I don't drink. Am I supposed to go, like, hey, sir, you seem to be cool. Wanna play board games and get to know each other over, I don't know, food? I don't know. And I guess I was just like, it was on my own, like, just me worrying about love and if I would find someone. And from there, I think I would open up to people and tell them my side, or people would just open up to me for no reason. And I would hear stories like, my roommate went to New York for 4 days, fell in love, and I was like, yeah, right, 4 days. And the next month, she moves to the Virgin Islands with him, and he's been living with him for over 3 years. So I was like, love is crazy. I have no idea what that is. And I thought, you know, there's so many movies about love that are fictional, but what more if we actually captured, like, a true love story and made a documentary about that? And I came to Nick with that, and I'm throwing the ball to you.
Nick, did you even believe Charlene when she presented this thesis that she didn't believe in love?
Yeah, I mean, I gave her a million questions, and she had an answer for every one.
What were the big ones? What comes up when someone tells you that?
Man, that is so long ago. I just know, I mean, you know, it's touched on in the movie that Charlene is kind of a little stubborn.
Hey!
I think really from my perspective, I was like, well, she's young. She'll figure out she's wrong someday. Like, but I did, I did believe her, and I did think that she honestly felt that's, you know, that's what she believed in, that she wasn't just saying it to get, like, any sort of reaction or anything like that.
I definitely felt certain. I think I've changed quite a bit after the documentary, but we're just doing the genesis of it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can really do what we did and not be affected in some little way. Like, we met so many interesting people that we would probably never have the opportunity to talk to otherwise. And it was pretty inspiring.
Nick, when she presented this idea to you, knowing her and possibly knowing her to be a bit on the obstinate side, what challenges did that present to you as a filmmaker?
Well, originally she was looking for a co-director to just basically make, you know, a traditional documentary about love and just interview people, collect their stories, collect their views. And then once we started working on it, that's when things started to sort of take shape. And we, you know, knowing of Charlene as a performer and someone who I thought was pretty talented and unique, I figured she should be on camera. And then also with that sort of approach that she had to the subject, that was kind of important. And so from there, then, you know, that's where things really started to come together. And we realized, you know, we would need some sort of arc, some sort of story to tell. And the obvious thing would be for her to experience love on camera as part of the documentary. But we, you know, we couldn't guarantee that would happen.
And also, I don't think I'd ever feel comfortable with, like, one, it's hard enough to date, but what more, like, on camera? Like, that's scary. That's horrible. I would never sign up for that in real life.
Well, tell me about what the film is. What was the form that you finally settled on?
Well, we knew from the beginning that there was going to be real documentary elements, and we didn't want there to be any sort of noticeable difference between, like, the documentary stuff and the sort of fictional storyline we were going to create. So we decided to shoot it all in the same manner and in the same style. And so everything would be presented as if it was all shot from the perspective of the same camera, from this documentary crew that was following Charlene around as she made the film.
Here's Charlene talking to kids on a Georgia playground about love.
Do you want to get married?
No.
Why not?
Because
it's gross?
Yes.
Do you want to get married?
Say yes.
No.
Say it.
To me?
No.
What's a perfect date?
You need to take somebody to Applebee's and get them hot wings.
Do you remember a movie? But before that, you'll watch the sunset on the beach. And the restaurant that you will go to is a French Riviera restaurant that only sells seafood. That's a good date.
Charlene, why was it important to you to have these real elements? Why was it important to you to talk to people about what love meant to them?
I don't know. I think to keep the real elements in the film, I don't know, I guess it felt like there was more weight to it, and in hopes that when people went into the film blind, not knowing what was real and what wasn't, that maybe they would care more about the story and feel more involved and feel something else emotionally than that they wouldn't have felt if it was just all fiction.
Tell me a little bit about what challenges you ran into in setting up this hybrid sort of film.
The main challenges a lot of the times were figuring out, like, how a crew would actually capture certain things. And so we definitely, you know, we had to get creative from time to time. Like, you know, how would a crew capture the Charlene character and the Michael character's first interaction? And it's like, okay, well, Charlene will go to a party where all of her friends are hanging out to talk to them, and then it'll just naturally happen on camera. I guess the big thing that we decided on was that we wouldn't have a script, so that all the performances and the dialogue would feel as sort of, you know, natural and in the moment as the true documentary stuff. So, you know, we would get together, we had an outline, like a 5-page outline, and some scenes were extremely detailed, others had like one line. It was like, Charlene and Michael go on first date.
Yeah.
And so we would show up to shoot that scene, and then we would sit down beforehand and kind of, you know, talk about what information would be important and what would feel real and natural, and kind of come up with a list of beats and then let the actors improvise their way around those beats so that it still felt fresh and real.
What if you moved a little bit more that way so everything she says you get the drafts in the background too?
Yes.
You think that would work?
Hey, sorry, I'm going to go. I'm going to take off.
Oh, you're taking off?
Yeah, yeah. Bye, guys.
Thanks for coming by, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. Bye, guys. I'll call you tomorrow about the weekend.
Okay.
What's going on this weekend?
We're going to go eat and watch a movie.
You and Mike are going to go eat and watch a movie?
Yeah.
Just the two of you?
Yeah.
For real?
What?
That's awesome. You guys are going on a date.
No, it's not a date. We're just going to hang out and eat.
You guys are going to go eat, the two of you, and go see a movie, just the two of you, and that's not a date.
No, we eat and watch movies all the time.
That's different. Jay, a guy and a girl decide to go out and get dinner and see a movie. What would you call that?
That would be a date, sir.
That would be a date. Let's try to get that date out of your head and just shoot this scene.
I want to talk to you guys a little bit about casting a film that is semi-fictional, semi-documentary. It featured, you know, a casting director going to places and finding real people to really be interviewed and things like that. But there's a question that I feel like I need to ask first, which is, Charlene, you're in this movie playing yourself. How was Charlene on camera different from, how is Charlene the character different from or similar to Charlene in real life?
I think when I'm interviewing people, I'm really being myself because I want them to trust me and not think it's like a Borat type of movie. And the narrative part, I think Charlene doesn't really say how she feels all the time. I think I talk so much about how I feel, like constantly blabbing, like, oh, my emotions.
In real life or in the movie?
In real life. And in the movie, like, you know, she's kind of quiet, like, during, I don't want to ruin the movie, during certain parts.
I think she, withholds information from the cameras a little bit.
Yeah, and she also, I think her actions define how she feels more so than her actual words or lack of words.
We definitely, I think it's a slightly, like, toned down version of Charlene in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, you know, we wanted it to feel very realistic. We didn't want to, like, go for the joke.
It's so weird, too, that, like, when I was being myself, like, it wasn't real enough, even though I was being real. And it's so weird, like, oh, but your character, you don't look real. But I'm like, but I am, I'm actually, this is how I talk. Like, my hands flail about, I'm sorry. And so, like, he's like, oh, you know, why are you kind of singing that part of your what you're saying, too?
I think we just had to, like, we made things a little more subtle for you and, like, tone things down. And, I mean, obviously, too, like, even though the characters are, you know, they have the same names and stuff, they still have to say and do certain things to help move the story forward that maybe they wouldn't necessarily do in real life.
Yeah, I would never sign up to do a real documentation of my love.
Was it strange to see yourself through the lens of this semi-fictional story? Was it weird to, like, just the simple, like, looking at yourself doing stuff?
Yeah, it was very strange and slightly disgusting to watch myself.
And she was in the editing room the entire time, which was, like, almost like a six-month process, like 6 days a week. So we were there every day. So she, I mean, I don't know how she did it, because I would have hated myself, like, if I had to watch myself every day.
There's no doubt in my mind that I don't hate myself.
It's so hard. Like, I'm in the film for 2 seconds, and I cringe every time I see it.
I feel like this sounds awful, but my voice sounds like a deaf person. I realized so many things, and I was just like, I don't think I'm insecure about it. I'm just more aware of it. Which is fine, I think.
I think, too, like, it's tough because, you know, a lot of what she was watching was, the interviews in the film are, like, 2 minutes long, but we shot them each for, like, an hour and a half. And so, it's, you know, she was already nervous having to be on camera and having to talk to people she didn't know and ask them very personal questions. And it's not, you know, it wasn't an easy position to be in. Like, I didn't envy her job at all.
Yeah, I was really bad. I think I could withstand a conversation for so long, but, like, just talking to people in general is hard for me. So I'd ask all the questions, and there'd be points where I just blank out and just go,
Yeah, we cut those together for the DVD.
Yeah, like, I think Jake said that he was listening in one time, and I wasn't aware of it, I think, because I was so in my head, that he said that when I blanked out, I was going, think fast, think fast, think fast. I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm a cartoon character. Wow.
It's the Sound of Young America. My guests are Charlene Yee and Nick Jasinovic, the star and director, respectively, of the part documentary, part narrative film, Paper Heart. It follows Charlene in her quest to figure out the meaning of love and maybe get a little bit for herself. Here's Charlene talking to Seth Rogen in the film.
I've never been in love, ever, so I'm not sure if I'm capable of it.
Well, why do you think that you would be someone who wasn't capable of it? You're a very loving person.
That's what you think.
You're dedicated to creative things. There's passion inside you. Your love glass is half full.
Nick, I want to ask you about sneaking out of this whole thing by casting an actor to play you in the film. Why did you make that choice?
Really, like, we were working so hard to create a reality for the fictional scenes that I'm not very good on camera. I'm not a
very
I'm not a
ugly.
Yeah, I'm also terrible to look at.
I'm just kidding. He's very handsome, ladies.
Yeah, I went to Austin.
He's single too.
And they told me that you said I was horribly disfigured in an accident or something.
Oh no, Jake said that.
Okay,
and I agreed.
They asked me about it.
I was kidding.
But yeah, really, it just comes down to the fact that I'm not a good actor, and I probably would have compromised like the reality of those moments if I was in them. So,
how do you cast someone to play you?
He's a friend.
He's on the top of our cool list.
Yeah, we went around all the different modeling agencies and just asked for their number.
We were looking through GQ and we're like, who's that hot babe? And it was Jake Johnson, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, you know, interesting, because it's tough to find somebody who has both the dramatic chops, the comedic timing, and the cut look, the kind of cut that you've got.
Amazingly, yeah, we cut out the scene of him with his shirt off in the pool.
I bet you Jake is blushing right now.
Yeah,
his
he's definitely
body.
Streaming this right
his
now.
How do you direct someone who's playing you? How close do you want it to be to
really
to
close.
What you are? Or do you want to just distance it as far as you can from what you are?
Well, we kind of, that was the character we had the most fun with, and it ultimately didn't work in the film, but like we definitely, we kind of treated him as sort of that like cliche, like indie director where he was really forcing himself to be on camera a lot and, you know, kind of in over his head and a little bit pretentious. And ultimately those scenes just didn't fit tonally, so we never used them. And the thing that worked the best was sort of this, like, this buddy relationship between him and Charlene. And we realized, you know, at first I think we were really thinking Charlene would do a lot of talking to the camera, like a traditional, you know, Michael Moore type documentarian. And it felt so awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So having Jake there, you know, his role really became to sort of be on screen so that we could get information across from Charlene.
Yeah, it's crazy how essential he became. I think originally he was hoping to just fly into the city whenever we were shooting, but he was there the entire time, like during the documentary stuff. I think we're so lucky that he agreed to do it. Otherwise, our movie would be crap. Seriously, crap. I think like with everyone, like with Jake and Michael, they brought so much to the, you know, to their character, and I think in paper it's like, oh, you know, there's the basic structure of a romantic type of thing, and when they brought so much, and especially with Jake, there were so many different variations of the character that in editing we got to create who he was.
Here's a scene with Charlene and Jake Johnson, who plays director Nick Jasenovic in the film.
Hey, Charlene, will you tell the camera what you told me last night on the phone?
What did I tell you last night?
When we were on the phone talking about the shoot, and then you said,
I don't know, remind me.
You don't remember what we were talking about last night?
No, remind me.
We were talking about the shoot and we're both getting excited. And then Charlene says, you know, Nick, I'm starting to really like Michael.
Did I say that?
You did.
I didn't say it.
And I said, really? And she goes, yeah. And I was like a boyfriend? And she goes, yeah. And so we've made an agreement that we're going to have to start filming everything so we don't miss that, because their relationship is definitely part of the movie now.
Let's talk a little bit about Michael Cera, who plays the man who teaches you what love is in the film. He has such a distinctive tone. Was that the reason you went to him, or was it just because you happened to be friends with a major movie star?
It's, you know, I mean, a little bit of both. We obviously, almost everyone who worked on the film, we were all friends. And so, you know, when you're making a film this small and with this little money, and I mean, everyone has to sacrifice. And so it helps if you have that relationship, that pre-existing relationship, so that you're kind of in the trenches together. So that was a big thing. The other thing was that just sort of, yeah, his style in terms of acting, like he has a very subtle, natural style, and it would be perfect for what we were trying to accomplish. And he also really enjoys sort of playing with, like, audience expectations and perceptions of who he is in real life. So we figured he would be a good fit, and, you know, luckily he responded to it right away, because I don't know, you know, we had a list of other people, but we were like, I don't know if it'd be the same.
We also got rejected for Martin Lawrence, so that was a big bummer.
He's a tough get. He's a tough get. He's busy making action blockbusters.
Yeah, he is.
Here's a clip from the film featuring Yi and Sarah.
What are you guys filming?
A documentary.
What is it about?
It's about me.
Your life?
No, it's about I don't believe in love.
Cool. Awesome. Are you interviewing people tonight for it, or what are you filming tonight?
Some people.
Oh, nice. Want to be interviewed, bud?
No.
Will this be in the movie? The scene?
Probably not.
Yeah. How long have you played guitar for?
I didn't know I play guitar.
You don't play?
I do.
I thought you did.
Well, how you been, man?
Good. I'm glad you're here. It's good
to
see
you. Yeah, it's really good seeing you.
Yeah, I haven't seen you since probably when we were playing Frisbee.
I don't think I've played since we played.
Yeah, this is cool. How do you guys know each other?
I saw her do a show about probably a year ago, and we just started hanging
out. Started talking?
She's cool, man. How do you know each other?
I've only met her just now, tonight. Wow. Yeah.
What was it like for you to represent these sort of touchstone moments in a romantic relationship with someone you knew in a real-life context?
I think it was no different from working with Jake. I'd worked with Jake before, and I think those are the only two actors in there.
Well,
actually,
there is the difference that with Jake you were working, you had a buddy relationship on screen, and working with Mike Sarah, you were pretending to fall in love, something that you have claimed not to believe in.
And then definitely, like, in the outline, we assume that the Charlene and Michael characters would sort of, as much as possible, avoid being too, like, romantic in front of the cameras, because they wouldn't want to share that part of themselves. And so there's not a whole lot in the movie, which was probably nice for them as performers too, to not have to do stuff like that too much.
Yeah, and also I think it was kind of weird, like, having to act romantic with him, because I knew him. Because me and Martin from Knocked Up, Martin Starr, we actually had to do a kissing scene that got cut out, and that was before we became friends. And now we're like brother and sister, and we were talking about, like, ew, remember when we kissed? And we were like, oh, crap, like, that would have been horrible if we knew each other, you know? Like, like, I know what you smell like. You know, I've spent 24 hours with you, or if not more. And so, I mean, there's a part of, like, being comfortable with someone because you can do risks and try things, especially with improv when you know someone. But I think also it is a bit awkward. But thank God, like, we didn't have to act natural in front of the cameras, because it is, like, these two people trying to have a relationship, but obviously it's not intimate because these cameras involved.
A production of The Sound of Young America is underwritten in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered online at ask.metafilter.com.
This September, MaximumFun.org is headed east. You can check out The Sound of Young America Live, our live stage show, in Philadelphia September 16th as part of the Philly Fringe. It's a live Sound of Young America program played out before your very eyes with music, comedy, and interviews. Our guests on the Philadelphia show include the Spinto Band, comics artist Charles Burns, the director of the Mutter Museum, and more. Then the next night, we'll be offering the freewheeling comedy of the Monsters of Podcasting. That's You Look Nice Today and our own Jordan Jesse Go. On the 18th, we'll be headed to New York for a live show at the Jerome L. Green Performance Space at WNYC. My guests include Scott Adsit from the NBC comedy 30 Rock, musicians Nellie Mackay and Andrew W.K., and much more. Saturday, September 19th, the Monsters of Podcasting hit the UCB Theater in New York. For more information and tickets, visit MaximumFun.org. It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guests are Charlene Yi and Nick Jasenovic, the star and director, respectively, of the semi-fictional film Paper Heart. You start out the movie with you looking into the nature of love, interviewing biologists and neuroscientists and things like that. But there are also a lot of really wonderful first-person perspectives on love that you get in the film. Tell me a little bit about how you found people to talk to about something so elemental.
When we first started putting the film together, we made like a list of types of people we wanted to interview. And we hired a casting director pretty early in the process who had done some casting for documentary projects in the past. And so she kind of had a pretty good game plan. She took our list and we had a 4-week shooting schedule already mapped out in terms of where we were going to be and when. And so she did some preliminary work in LA, and then she also went out ahead of us by 2 weeks and would go to all the same cities and would just sort of sit down in a diner or a coffee shop and start talking to people, and that would, you know, lead her to this person or that person. And she would do these sort of pre-interview videotaped segments with them and send them to us, and we would get them in our email every night and select our subjects from there.
Oh, there's this one scary video that we got. No, two, actually. One of them, we're looking for a psychic, and the psychic, you know, it was like in her home or something. She's like, hey, you should turn off.
Well, she was reading our casting director.
Oh, yeah, she was
reading her fortune.
I forgot to explain that. And she's like, why? She's like, I have to tell you about your future, you know. And then she turned it off, and I was like, what the hell happened? And then we want to also interview polygamists.
And then you got your casting director's bloody stump of a leg in the UPS next day.
I have yet to ask her what happened with that. I want to ask her.
Rest in peace.
I hope she's okay. Yeah. She's dead? Oh, God.
No, she just lost a leg.
Oh, yeah, her leg is dead?
Yeah. She's fine.
Oh, yeah. God. Whew. Oh,
but
she's one, guys.
Slower, but yeah. Fine.
Oh, but the other one was we wanted to interview a polygamist, and so she goes to...
Yeah, she went to this community in Utah.
Yeah, and there's just, like, shaky footage of, like little, like, girls digging holes
in the
backyard. And
they were dressed like pilgrims.
Yeah. Like, and then there was a pickup truck, and there was a guy, and she goes, oh, God, that guy has a shotgun, let's go. And so that was, like, the end of the tape.
I don't even know why she sent us that video, probably just to say, like, don't go.
Yeah.
She just wanted to prove she was earning a paycheck, right?
Yeah. Like, she didn't just take a day detour and go to Vegas and gamble or something.
So if you get a dozen videos from her in your email inbox, how do you pick from them? What are you looking for?
Every person was different. Every interview, we were looking for different things. Sometimes it was just like, you know, who had a nice natural personality on camera.
Like the woman who talks about the Levi's and the Harley. Like, she was... We originally wanted to look for a novelist, and she was in consideration for just, like, a perspective about being a novelist, but her love story was so interesting. We're like, oh, let's just do that.
Yeah, we knew that would be a fun one to recreate with the puppets, and so that's why we chose her, for example. But, yeah, I don't know. We were always looking for different things, and it was pretty clear. I don't think Charlene and I ever disagreed on a choice. Like, and not to say that the other ones weren't, you know, good or interesting in their own way, but it just was pretty obvious.
Yeah, and then some of the interviews weren't casted from Eileen. I called her that. Some of them were just like spontaneous, like the bikers. We ended up staying at a hotel across the street from a biker bar, and
we went over there one night. I was wearing a hat much like that one, which was the worst choice ever.
You pointed out like a straw.
Straw fedora.
Yeah.
And,
that's a Mickey Mouse
hat. We just kind of went in and it really felt...
You had some good humor bars.
Yeah, I mean, it really did. It felt like Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, there's
like
a guy with an eye patch.
And like, we walked in and all the women, there was like a karaoke thing and there was a lyric in the song about breasts, and so we walked in and all the women lifted up their shirts like right when we walked in. We're like, oh my God, what have we gotten into?
What have we gotten into, and how do we stay here?
Yeah. How late are bars open in Oklahoma City? Yeah. I hope forever.
Were you scared? Did you just know that if things went wrong, you could always do your signature dance?
Oh no, I was terrified. Nick ordered a beer, and then he was like, and they're like, what about for her? And he was like, oh, she doesn't drink a Shirley Temple, and she, and
they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, she looked disgusted, like, what?
And the only way we really got bailed out is that someone recognized Charlene from Knocked Up.
And our charming personalities.
I'm sure that helped. But definitely the sort of, the fact that you were in a movie they were all fans of. Once they realized that, suddenly we were the most popular people there. And then, you know, we made friends with a few of them and decided to come back the next day to interview Jester.
Love is 30 minutes in the back of a Harley.
Thanksgiving dinner is here. Christmas dinner is here.
And that's true love right there. That's what love is here.
Sometimes we can't stand each other, but we love each other.
We fight and cuss one another, but we all love one another.
Are you ready to go for that motorcycle ride?
Really?
Let's go.
So, Charlene, hearing all of these stories, I mean, I found myself affected by these first-person stories watching in the theater, and I, you know, I believe in love. Like, I'm married, you know, picture of my wife on the wall.
Photoshopped.
I wonder, hearing all these stories first-person, how do you think over the course of making the film your perspective changed, if it did at all?
It definitely did. I think, talking to them, it was, so cheesy. It was like staring at love in the face. It was like, I don't know, because, you know, when someone tells you a story, at least for me, when I was talking face to face, I got emotionally involved and I would get like chills and be like, afterwards, each time we'd all look at each other, like everyone, the cast and crew were like, wow, like that was great. Like, I can't believe that happened, and I can't believe they were so open about it. Yeah, I think, you know, everything they said was just made me more hopeful.
Well, Nick, Charlene, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the San Diego America.
Thank you very much.
Nick Jasinovic and Charlene Yee are the director and star of the new film Paper Heart. It opens in limited release on August 7th. That's our time for another Sound of Young America program. I have been your host, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. The show produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our editor is Nick White. Music provided by Dan Wally. You can email me at jesse@maximumfun.org. And if you would like to subscribe to any of our awesome podcasts or check out our forum or our regularly updated blog, you can visit us on the web at maximumfun.org. We'll see you next time right here on The Sound of Young America.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. This message comes from NPR sponsor the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
In this country, some truths aren't self-evident. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as wide-ranging and real as the people who tell them, we celebrate the Black experience for all its soul and richness. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.